and good morning, Vietnam. It's my joy to be here with all of you today. Thank you, Pastor Rick, for allowing me to be here. Before I go to the Word, I would like to recognize Vietnam veterans. If any of you here, you are Vietnam veteran, I would like to see you. Yes, please come. I have a gift for you if you're Vietnam veteran. If your spouse Vietnam veteran or your parent Vietnam veteran, please come, because I have a gift to present to you from Vietnam. So please come. Well, I'm here today to tell you this. We Vietnamese really appreciate what you did for our nation. Over 40 years ago, when you left this wonderful nation, went all the way to Vietnam with an M16 rifle. You brought us peace, joy, democracy. You won every war in Vietnam, every battle, you won it. Unfortunately, that you lost the war in Washington, D.C. because of politics. But in terms of politics and military, what you seem lost, you did won. You won Vietnam not for a nation, but for the kingdom of God. When the last helicopter left American embassy roof in Saigon in April 30, 1975, you left behind for us very good road, very good factory, very good hospital, very good school. But the best never been told, because you came to Vietnam with an M16 rifle. You opened door for John 3:16 Bible come to Vietnam. And many life come to know the truth. And the truth set them free. And one among them at the fruit of your service in Vietnam. So today I would like to present to you a gift handmade by our Mountaineer people. You know what I'm talking. The people live on mountain. They are the most persecuted Christian. But they grow the cotton by themselves. They go to the jungle. They dig the root of the tree. They boil. They come out different color and they dye. And they made this for you. And we want to present to you what our token says, that how much we appreciate you. So before I present this to you, I would like to join our hands together to pray for your family and for your friend. 58,000 of your friends made their way back here in America. 58,000 did not make their way here. And many of your friends, even though they made their way here in America, but they are lost in alcoholism, in drugs, in many problems. And today we would like to pray for them, that God will set them free and bring them back into his kingdom to be a blessing to the other people. Would congregation, you raise your hand toward us and let's agree together to pray for our Vietnam vet and their family. Dear Heavenly Father, I come to you this morning with a grateful heart for your love, your grace, and your mercy, that you bring these men and women back from Vietnam safely. But Lord, as we stand in here this morning, we remember, Lord, the one who lost their loved one in Vietnam. And we pray special for those, the one even that returned from Vietnam by their physically body. But Lord, their spirit, their soul are lost. They are now under slavery, either to drugs, to alcoholics, or other problems. But we come to you this morning, Lord, we declare your promise that you create us very good. And you have a great plan for us. Your plan not to harm us, but to bless and prosper us. So we're able to be a blessing to the other. So Lord, now we lift up all those Vietnam vet and their beloved one into your hands. In the name of Jesus, Lord, I cancel all devil evil plans upon their life. In the name of Jesus, I declare your great plan to their life. So in Jesus' name, I bind all evil spirit. Whatever curse was spelled above their life, I break them now in the name of Jesus. Lord, set them free. Bring them out of darkness into light, out Satan into your kingdom. So you will be able to restore their life, their family, and make them become blessing to the other. Lord, in the name of Jesus, I declare your power, your victory upon their life. And Lord, we expect that you bring more of the Vietnam vet and their beloved one back to your kingdom for your glory and for their benefits as well. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Well, I would like to present to you the gift from Vietnam. So you remember that all your labor in Vietnam, not in vain. I would like to shake your hand, and I love every one of us. Give them a hand to tell them how much we appreciate them. Thank you again. Thank you very much. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. I have a quick report for them. October last year, I will go to tell you my story a little bit, but I would deport out of my own country 19 years ago. And for 17 years, I keep trying coming back. Every time I arrived at the airport, they arrested me and put me in the next flight, kicked me out. So I really pray. So the year before, I was arrested. And during the time of interrogation, they asked me, what are you doing in America? I said, well, I travel to preach the good news, but as well, I bring reconciliation to Vietnam veterans. And matter of fact, I do a lot of reconciliation service to Vietnam veterans all over the United States. And they already monitor all my activity in America, and they say, can you bring all the vet back to Vietnam with a reconciliation, what you do, same way you do in America? I say, yes, if you allow me. So long story short, it takes a year before I able to apply. So we bring with me 10, and this one among them. We land in Hanoi. We were received by the foreign ministry. And following day, we were brought into the government office. We met with the high officer of foreign ministry, of police ministry, and religion ministry. And for 1.5 hours in their office, we dialogue. And then with their permission, we have a very special evening meeting. There were 20 pastors. They were Viet Cong. They used to be enemy. So here we have 10 GI and 20 Viet Cong come together in a room. We are monitored by the government officer. And we have a dinner together. And during the dinner, we break the bread. And I have the GI serve the bread to the Viet Cong, and the Viet Cong serve the cup to the GI. And with their whole hands, they declare the forgiveness and asking forgiveness. And Holy Spirit moved. And they broke in tears, they hugged each other, they prayed for each other. And they end up in joys. And all the government officers were amazed. And all the waiters in that restaurant come to accept Jesus as the Lord and Savior. And all the government said, well, first time we saw this happen. Many groups try, but they never succeed. So we don't know how Christians able to make it. So we told them that because Jesus Christ reconciled us with God through the cross and the Calvary. And because that reconciliation brought all the enemy come together as a brother and sister. So they asked me, can you do that again for next time? And I said, yes. So next year I might plan another trip for Vietnam veterans. We'll be landing in Hanoi and we will travel to DMZ and Da Nang, and then we will go to Saigon before we get out of the country. So please pray for us, because many of them are now in age, very hard for them to travel. But some of them really want to see Vietnam again before they go to leave this earth. So please keep it in your prayer. And this morning I'm here as a witness of what God and though the GI doing to my country and to myself. I wasn't born in a Christian family like many of you. My grandfather, he was a Chinese medical doctor. He ran away from communists in China, went to Vietnam, and married a Vietnamese, and practiced as a medical doctor. And then later on, he getting very rich. But the more he getting richer, the more politicians try to make money out of him. So later on, he sent my father into politics to protect him. But after many years in politics, my father getting tired of politics. So when I was born, my grandfather and my father decided they are not going to send me neither to business nor to politics. But they want to send me to religion. So they brought me to Buddhist temple and give me to Buddha. And Buddhist monk give me a name. In Vietnamese, Chan Den Ai. That means stop loving the world. So my name is Love the World No More. That's the meaning of my name. And later on, when I grow up, I was sent into Buddhist temple to be trained. So after 9 years trained in Buddhist temple, I became a monk. But when I became a monk, the more I study about Buddha and Buddhism doctrine, the more I found out hopeless. Because Buddha, he was a wonderful guy, had wonderful teaching, but it's impossible for people who follow him able to do whatever he talks. So I found hopeless. So I want to follow him by left Buddhist temple to search for the truth. Unfortunately, that nobody preached the gospel to me then. So I end up in witchcraft. And after 5 years training in witchcraft, I become a master witchcraft doctor with 3,366 gods that I serve. So now in a little town, my grandfather control in business, my father control in politics, but I control in spirit. And control in spirit, I have more money and power than both of them combined together. So I thought I might enjoy all my life. But then in January of 1970, there were missionary. There was a man from Pensacola, Florida, Dr. John Hurston, Assembly of God missionary. After many years in Korea, disciple Junggi Cho. Together they went to Vietnam. So when they come to my town and they have an open air cruise ship, of course, as the witch doctor, I did not pay attention. But after 3 nights, my whole town was shaken. So some of my witch students come to me and say, Master, you got to come and shut down the new church that happened in our town. So I asked them why. They said, Sir, every night our people left us and went to joy with that new church. If you are not going to shut them down, sooner or later you're going to lose your job. I said, okay, tomorrow night I will go and check it out. So next evening I went. When I went to the church, I expected that I'm going to see though the foreigner missionary will perform their religion ceremony like I did many years of my life. But I was disappointed. Because this guy don't really know how to perform a religion ceremony at all. All they did was singing, raise their hand, clap their hand, jump up and down, shouting, very noisy. And to Vietnamese, that's crazy. That's not Christian. That's not religion. You know, in Vietnamese perspective, religion, you have to be very quiet. So you can meditate and communicate with other spirits. That's the reason why if you go to any traditional church in Vietnam, it's very quiet. You can even hear mosquito fly among the mist. But this group was so noisy. But after all the noisy, they opened the Bible. And they read the story in the Bible. And they said, friend, listen, we are not come to bring to you another religion. Because we believe Vietnam, you have more than enough of religion. But you know what? Religion will make people religious. But we come to bring to you Jesus Christ, because Christ will make you become righteousness. All religions seem good, but the more you involve in religion, the more they give you regulation, constitution, by law, and they put burden after burden upon your life. But I have a good news for you. Jesus came not to give you burden. But by the way, when he came, he said, come unto me, all are labor and heavy burden, then I will give you rest. So if tonight you come with any burden in your life, some of you, when your doctor gives you a bad report about your health, that's your burden. Some of you, maybe your spouse or your children left you because of something else. You think that's a burden. Some of you, your business is not going well, your bank is crapped, or you have a different kind of burden. But I have a good news for you. Jesus is greater than all of your burdens. You know, normally when people have problems, they try to look for a reason. In the day of trouble, people always look for a place to refuse their soul. That's what the Bible says. So when people are in trouble, they try to look for a religion so that they can refuse their soul in the day of trouble. But you know what problem? When they get to any temple, they may see their God sitting there. You know, you walk the temple, you see all their gods sitting there. With ear cannot hear. With eye cannot see. With mouth cannot talk. With hands cannot move. Though the God can never move any inch in their temple, they cannot help themselves. How can they help you? But I have a good news for you, that Jesus Christ, he came all the way from heaven to this earth, and he gave himself as a sacrifice on the cross for all our problems. But on the third day, he arose from the dead. He's the only one that arose from the dead. He's able to help himself to get out of the grave. He's able to help you. All other gods are dead and lay behind the grave. They're not able to help themselves to get out of the grave. How can they help you? So, if you are here with problem, bring your problem to Jesus. I saw people ran from every corner to the front and brought their burden to Jesus. I recognized many of my followers were there. So after they pray for them, and they sing another song, they go back to their seat and they say, listen, if you've been here in past few nights, if you heard the word of the Lord, if you saw a sign, wonder, and miracle, if you heard many wonderful testimony, and tonight I want you, that you come with problem and we pray for you. If today you hear, God already solved your problem. Your burden will take away. We love for you to come to share your testimony, because the Bible says you will have victory based upon the blood of Jesus Christ and your testimony. So if you experience God's mercy upon your life, come and share your testimony. I saw again people ran from every corner to the front. And this line is triple longer than the first line that came. And I recognize among them, not only many of my followers, but even many of my leaders under me. I was shocked. And when they start sharing their testimony, how God solved their problem, I thought myself, my goodness, maybe American missionary and Korean missionary put all their money together and they hire my own people to advertise for their religion. And I thought myself, if I'm not going to stop them, sooner or later, I'm going to lose my job. So last night, I stuck prayer to 1,000 gods. For almost 2 hours prayer, by the time the church ended, I realized that none of my gods show up. So I left the church, but I'm really frustrated. So I decided next day I'm going to fast. I'm not going to eat anything. I will spend all day to pray to my 3,366 gods. I went back next evening. And when the church worshiping, I start chanting and praying with my 2,000 gods. For over 3.5 hours church worship, sign, wonder, miracle happen. None of my God show up and do the job they're supposed to do. By the time I left the church, I was so frustrated. And I questioned them, where were you? Were you in vacation without my permission? Or you all sleep and forget, wake up to go to church with me? Tonight, I'm not going to sleep. I will spend this whole night to wake you up. So tomorrow, together, we go to church and shut down the church. So after the whole night prayer, next day I went to church very early. The church started at 7 p.m. 5 p.m., I already with my moped scooter. You know, in Vietnam, we don't have motorbike like in America. We have only 50cc, so American, you call moped scooter. So I get on my moped scooter and get into the church. 5 o'clock, I went in the parking lot. I look around, try to find a security to take care for my moped, because today we have a lot of criminal. For half hour, I waited, and there were no any church security show up. You know, it got funny. I found a lot of time that devil, they go to church much more earlier than the Christian. You know, the church at 7, devil show up at 5 o'clock. And Christian show up at 7:30, 7:45. That's in Vietnam only, because we have proper time. So I wait and wait, so nobody come. So I went and lay my hand over my motor scooter. And I assigned 20 guards, do nothing, but stay here, take care of my moped, so no one take away from me. On the way, walking to the church, I passed by a generator. I think generator about the size of this speaker. I went and lay hand over, and I pray. I command other 20 guards, you do nothing but mess up this generator. So tonight they won't have electricity for the church. You know, 50 years ago there wasn't electricity, so all missionaries must have their own generator. And then on the way into the church, I walk into the church and I pray over that equipment. They don't have piano like that. You know, they have a keyboard, but you know, keyboard 50 years ago without electricity, so they have to pump very hard, you know, to have the air to play. So I went and lay hand over, I pray, I command others, 20 guards, do nothing but mess up all their equipment so they were not able to worship their God. Do you know why devil don't want to see Christian worshiping God? I didn't know then, but now I know. When I read the Bible, I found out God habit present among the worship of his children. If God present among your worship, he will take care of all of your problems. With the worship, you can bring deliverance to many people from possession of demons. That's the reason why devil don't want to see the Christian worshiping God. So I'm telling you, I come from a background, we hate noisy, we don't have worship. But later on I found out, devil stolen the worship. When Lucifer was kicked out of heaven, he was the leader of worship. He stolen all the worship from heaven instead for God to make worship himself. So he stolen all the worship from heaven and practiced it without copyright. You know. And sometimes the church, we not recognize it. So anyway, when I pray all things, and I went way back in the corner of the church, and I sit there and I start praying with my God. I say, all my life, I serve you 3,366. Tonight, only 60 of you take care of my moped for the generator and the church equipment. So the rest of you, you need to show up and shut down the church before I go to lose my job. So I keep pray for over 4 hours. By the time the church all but ended, again, in spirit, I realized that none of my God show up and do the job they're supposed to do. I was so frustrated. And I wonder what will be the next step I need to do to shut down the church. So I heard they made another announcement. They said, friend, listen, if you come to the church in past few nights, you heard the word of the Lord, you saw sign, wonder, and miracle. You heard many wonderful testimonies. But if you have any question in your mind, Don't leave the church tonight with your question. We would like to invite you, bring your question here together. We will find out the answer before you leave the church. From the back, I stood up and I ran as quick as I could because I thought they made a big mistake when they made that announcement. And I'm afraid they're going to change their mind. So I ran very fast to the front. I introduced myself, who I was, what I'm doing. I've been here 3 nights already. I saw everything. And I have a lot of questions. And this is the deal. If you're able to answer all of my questions, I will go to live all my God and joy with you. But if you cannot answer all my questions, you better pack and leave my town, leave my people alone. So they pull out a book called Holy Bible. Do you have your Bible with you? I want to see your Bible. How many of you have your Bible? Can you wear your Bible, please? Okay, well, a lot of people here still carry the hard copy Bible. I think, brother here and brother Dick, you have a big Bible, right? Can you show your Bible? Yeah, and your Bible, yes. But still smaller than their Bible. Their Bible is almost 1 foot. You know, 50 years ago, mission always carry big Bible. So the other day, I wonder why they always carry their big book with them. I have bigger book, but I put on the temple. And why do the missionary always carry their book? I thought they might think that big book made them more holy. Or they might try to scare the devil in Vietnam by their big book. But I was laughing. You know why? Because for my 14 years, I was trained in Buddha temple and in witchcraft. 3 basket of Buddha scripture. And each basket of Buddha scripture, more than 1 foot. 1.5 foot. So 3 of them, I can tell you, almost 4 feet of the Buddha scripture. I was trained for 14 years. I never found the answer. I never found the truth. So I wonder, how can this book, only less than 1 foot, able to answer all my questions? But let me tell you, friend, it will amaze me. Over 2 hours, all my tough questions were answered in the book called Holy Bible. This book led me to realize that greater He is living God than there were 3,366 gods. So I lost the battle. But I'm glad I lost. Now I won in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Stand up from the pulpit, I was so excited. So I quickly ran back to the parking lot so I can drive home and tell a story. Guess what? By the time I reached to the parking lot, I walked around for 10 minutes trying to look for my moped. I couldn't find it. Then I understood why that 3,366 God I served many years, none of them show up and shut down the church. Because they all together disappear with my moped. Then I understood, devil come to do nothing but to steal, to kill, and to destroy. But I'm glad that Jesus come to give us life, and life even more abundant. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. So now, instead of about 20 minutes driving home, it took me over 1 hour to walk home. While I'm walking, devil tried to attack me. He said, see, you follow Jesus, huh? You not only lost your moped, you're going to lose everything. After 1 hour, I walked into my home. I walked into my door. I was shocked because it was late at night. My whole family still awake and waiting for me. As I walked in, I was greeted by my grandfather. I said, oh, grandson, I'm glad you're home. But you know what? The news already reached to this home before you return home. The whole town are now wondering, what are you doing? Are you trying to make some fun with the missionary? Or are you serious about following Jesus? I'm so excited. I said, Grandpa, I'm really serious about following Jesus. He looked at me, what? For many years, I invest into your life. You become a Buddhist monk, you're not happy with Buddha, you quit. You become a witch doctor with over 3,000 gods, it's not made you happy, you quit again. What's wrong with you? What's wrong with Buddha? I said, Grandpa, nothing wrong with Buddha. I respect Buddha highly, but I have one problem with Buddha. What's the problem? I said, Grandpa, you see, Buddha, he was a guy. Buddha was wise. Buddha was nice. But then Buddha dies. That's it. So he looked at me and said, what about Christ? I said, oh, Christ, he's a guy. He's wise. He's nice. He died. But he's alive and he's alive. Wow, hallelujah. Well, we excited, but not my grandfather. He was mad. He said, shut up your mouth. Don't try to preach to me. He said, listen carefully. Go to your bed. Rest well. Think carefully. Tomorrow morning, before the breakfast, you need to inform me. If you go to tell me, you just made fun with all the missionary, everything be okay. But if you are serious about following Jesus, grandson, listen. You have to leave this family without any inheritance. I'm telling you, I went to my bed, but I was not able to rest at all. I was wrestling. Because over an hour ago, I gave my heart to Jesus. I lost my moped, and now I'm about to lose everything. So I just turn back and forth, back and forth. But I cannot go to sleep, so from deep in my heart, I cry. I say, oh, Jesus. I'm sorry. I don't know how to pray with you, Jesus. But if you're real, you need to help me. I don't know what to do. By the moment I cry from my heart, and suddenly Holy Spirit showed up in my room in an incredible way. And Holy Spirit, when he showed my room, he reminded me of a song that the church, they sing every night. And you need to know that 50 years ago, Pentecost church, they love to sing. And the song 50 years ago was a very long song. 4 or 5 chorus, not short like our song today. And very long song, since they don't have PowerPoint like we have today. So the leader keep make sure that everybody listen by singing verse by verse, sentence by sentence. For 30 minutes, 40 minutes, they keep repeat the same song to make sure everybody memorize the song before they left. And of course, as a witch doctor, I never opened my mouth and sang the song, but I did not plug my ear. Somehow the song keep coming, 45 minutes every night. I did not aware that I memorized many of their songs. So when I was on my bed and cry out from my heart, and Holy Spirit pick up one of the songs and made me sing it out. And yet what song? The song was, I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back, no turning back. There no one with me, still you follow, no turning back. So I keep singing that song, I don't know how many times, but I sang until I went to sleep just like a baby. Next morning when I was sound asleep, my grandfather woke me up and said, wake up, wake up, wake up. So I wake up but not really awake. So he looked at me. He said, what is your decision, son? So I look at him without any answer, and he looked at me, he yelled louder, what is your decision? And now I'm really awake. And as I awaited, I look at his face getting red. And oh my goodness, I'm in trouble. Because my father always trained me. If you look at that old Chinese man, when his face getting red, that means he's angry. And if he neck start moving up and down, that means he's very, very mad. In those cases, don't quickly respond to him. You have to make a long circle to calm him down before you reach to the point. Otherwise, you're in big trouble. I learned very well. But this morning, he kept yelling louder, louder, louder. What's your decision? What's your decision? You know, I don't know how to start before I can make circle longer. And when he yelled, what's your decision? Suddenly, I opened my mouth. I said, so I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. He was mad. I said, shut up your mouth. No turning back, huh? It's time for you to leave this family without any inheritance. And don't turn it back unless you say no to Jesus. See, that moment, the devil said, see, I told you, now you lost everything. So I wonder, where am I going to stay? What am I going to do? The whole town will honor to have me as a Buddhist monk and a witch doctor, but not a Christian. You know why? Because in our culture, when you become a Christian, that means you no longer worship ancestor and other gods. And to them, that means you rebel to ancestor and betray to their god. So as I sit there, I say, oh, Jesus, I really need your help. I don't know where to go, what to do. And suddenly, our door went up. My grandfather opened the door. It's come out a witch doctor. He looked at him. What next? Don't you know that I lost my grandson and now what? So he very humble says, sir, doctor, my master sent me here because the whole town a rumor that brother I is now quits all our God and come to follow Jesus. So he sent me here, try to bring him back with our witchcraft. Good, good, come in, bring him back. So the witch doctor walked in and looked at me and said, brother I, is that the rumor true? I said, yes. He said, what's wrong with you? You're the only one in this town reached the highest level. And now you quit all the God and follow Jesus. I said, let's sit down and talk. So we sit down and we talk, we discuss, we debate, we went to argue, bad argue, for 5 hours. Do you know what we're talking about? It's only 5 hours. And pastor told me, don't worry because today you have dinner served in the church. So can I make this 5 hours for you? God, some of you said no. Okay, I don't make 5 hours. Anyway, I wrote a book called From Witch Doctor to the Pastor. And all the tough questions were discussed in this book. That from witch doctor to Buddhist and to Christian life. So after 5 hours of discussion, instead brought me to Jesus, brought me back to witchcraft, I led him to Jesus. So that's the second witch doctor in my town gets saved. The news spread out. Next day they sent another one higher rank. 4 hours later, he knew that accept Jesus as the Lord's Savior. Next day they sent another one. 3 hours later, he accepts Jesus. So one day after another, they keep sending higher and higher level. By the end of that week, 7 witch doctors were sent to me, all come to accept Jesus as the Lord's Savior. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. So after 1 week of my conversion, I become a cell group leader with 7 members in my cell group, the 7 witch doctors. And I trained the 7 witch doctor gang with me. In 4 years, I start a church with 10,570 people. And the witchcraft in my whole state was shocked. So they stopped. They don't send any more witch doctor. You know why, right? They don't want to lose all their witch doctor. So now after my conversion, I was disowned by my family. I was spared the curse by the witch doctor. And you know, April 30th of 1975, when the last helicopter get off from American embassy roof in Saigon, all the missionaries forced to leave Vietnam. So our leadership come together to pray for 1 hour with Jesus. After 1 hour prayer, our leader say, guy, listen. Look like communists, we're going to take over Saigon. We better pack very light in our briefcase and get on a boat to get out of the country. I was excited. So I stuck packing. The Holy Spirit said, no, not you, Paul. He reminded me all the wonderful prophecy that I received when I was graduated from Bible college, when I was ordained. They lay hand on me and they pray for me and they stuck prophecy on me and said, Paul, I have called you, I have chosen you from millions of Vietnamese. I have a plan for you. I'm going to raise you up as the leader for the church in the nation of Vietnam. Even though you're going to face with a lot of trial and difficulty, but don't give up. As long as you're faithful to me, I will be faithful to you. After I raise you as the leader of the church of Vietnam, I will send you around the world as an apostle to prepare my church for the rapture. It's a wonderful prophecy. But it's not take over overnight. So I thought, oh, I'm already leader of the church of Vietnam. It's time for me to leave. So I pack and I get on the van. I sit in the back so no one see me. And then when we get to the riverbank, I get on the boat. So all of them already step in the boat. I was the last one. At the moment, I step on the boat and Holy Spirit show up again. I say, Paul I, what are you doing on this boat? By the way, my name wasn't Paul I. My name was Stop Loving the World. When I get saved, the people in the church say, oh, Brother I, you know what? Your life exactly like the man in the Bible. In the Bible, there were a man, his name Saul. He's so religious like you. He hate the gospel like you. He persecuted the church like you. But God get hold of his life and change his life and change his name from Saul become Paul. So Brother I, you must be Paul I. I said, well, I don't know. But any name come out from Bible, it must be a good name. Okay, Paul I be fine. So I get the name Paul I. But I don't know what it means. So I read the Bible. So first week of my Christian life, I read from cover to the cover. I found, oh, they gave me the wrong name. Paul, this guy, prison after prison. I don't want to be in prison like him, you know. So I don't like the name, but it's too late to change. So I say, okay, fine. God, if you call me Paul, you have a plan for me. And your plan not harm me, but bless me and prosper me. I receive it. So by the time I get on the boat and Holy Spirit said, Paul, I, what are you doing on this boat? Do you want to be a Jonah on this boat? I am telling you, I was scared to death. My friend on the boat looked at me and said, Brother I, what's wrong with you? Are you seasick? I said, no, I'm not. He said, look at your face. You're like a dead man. Your face turned to blue and you get sweat. What's wrong with you, brother? I said, well, I just heard the word from the Lord. Wonderful, brother. We are about to make a very dangerous journey on the ocean. We need a word from the Lord. What God spoke to you, brother? I said, the Lord just asked me, do I want to be a Jonah on this boat? What? Jonah? Get out of the boat. We don't want to take Jonah with us. You know, they may have to leave the boat. And I walked out from the boat and I thought myself, how can I? That's stupid. I should not told them that. I should keep quiet and leave. I become an apostle around the world. But I'm glad to tell you this. I am glad that I spoke it out. Otherwise, I'm not here today. If you read the story of Vietnamese boat people, many of them never made the way to other nations. They lost their life in the ocean. So anyway, when I were kicked out of the boat, I go back to the church. Following Sunday, I have another long story, but I skip it. After the church, it was a really, really interesting story of first Sunday under communism, which is a long story, so I skip it. After church, that's Sunday turned to Monday, 1 o'clock in the morning. Police broke the gate, the door of the church, and come to my room. They arrested me, blind, handcuffed, put me in a car, in the ambulance, put me in an ambulance. And ran for 6-7 hours. And they put me underground prison. That called politic prison. All politicians were there. They want to brainwash. Of course, in first 3 months, I was underground dark. I don't see anything for 3 months. Everything was dark. Until the day of terror event, they bring me out, put me in a chair, handcuffed, chained me back, and suddenly the light on and off, you know. So that's how it threw at me. So I skipped that. But for the first 6 months, I lived with all politicians. And then I understood why my father didn't want me to involve with politicians. Because all the politicians, good talk, very good talk, but never walk the way they talk. You know, in Vietnam the other day, to be a politician, they have to go to school for 4 years. In that 4 years, the school taught them how to tell lies legally. And by the time they graduate, they give them a law degree. So they will start their career in politics. So though the politicians in my prison, they're very good talk. And many of them say, oh, Reverend Paul, you know what? Communists will not accept any religion. They're not allowed you to compete with the communist religion. Why don't you quit your faith and come to join our party? Let's start a new party, new constitution, new law. Everything go new, 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 new. I look at them and say, you are stupid. You don't know what you're talking about. How come you promise people new, 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 new? At the same time, you are struggling with your old man inside. Every day you are struggling with drug, with sex, with corruption, with problem. No way for you to give something new since you are old. But I have a good news for you. My Bible says, whoever in Christ become a new creation, all old things will pass away, all become new in Jesus Christ. Well, I'm glad 6 months later, this prison come to worship Jesus and the Lord Savior. Well, police wasn't happy. They transferred me to another prison. They put me in a life sentence criminal prison. When they moved me to that life sentence criminal prison, I was put in a cell, 6 meters by 8 meters, 18 by 24. Packed, 88 young men for life. And these men, when they were sentenced for life, nobody cared for them anymore. So now they have nothing else but only one underwear. So they start cover their body by tattoo. They have a tiger here, lion here, dragon here, cobra snake here, spider, eagle. Just like a little zoo on their body. By all of the tattoo. Let's see if I can do that. That's my politic prison. So when I walk into this prison, though the criminal, that's how they cover their body. So they look at me. I say, what are you doing? I say, I'm a pastor. A pastor? What kind of crime you involved? I said, no, I'm not involved in crime. Come on, man. If you're not involved in crime, how come they put you here? You must be a wrong place. I said, no, I'm in the right place. My God sent me here as an ambassador from Heavenly Kingdom to bring you hope while you're hopeless. I said, no, man. There is no hope in this place. You can get in, but you can never get out. Until the day they put you on a coffin and send you to cemetery. I said, that's the reason why God sent me here. So now, two big men come and pushed me over the wall and took off my clothes. By the time they took off my clothes, they saw I have tattoo on my body more than any one of them. They looked at me and said, what? Excuse me, sir, what are you really doing? I said, I'm really a pastor. Come on, man, how come a pastor with all tattoo in your body? You look like a gangster more than a pastor. And by the way, all this tattoo in the name of 3,366 gods when I was trained to be a witch doctor. It's impossible to remember all the name of 3,366 names. So I have to mark the name on my body so that every day I have to memorize. So every 100 days, we will put one group of God name in the body. So after we memorize all the names, next 100 days, we put another one. And 100 days, we put another one. So that's why I cover all my body with all the tattoo. So when they look at the tattoo, they say, excuse me, what are you really doing? I said, I'm really a pastor. How come a pastor with all tattoo? You look like very much like a gangster. I said, I even worse more than a gangster. But God can change many gangsters become pastor. No way, man. I said, by the way, you know Lung Mala, I mentioned the name of the top gangster in Vietnam. Everybody know. Really? You know my boss? I said, no, he's my disciple. Come on, man, you have to be honest. How come does my boss become your disciple? Do you want to know his story? So what story? Story how God changed your boss become my disciple. How long will story take? I said, well, I have enough time, enough story to tell you. Make it short. We don't have much time to hear a long story here. I said, that's fine. I have full version. I have long version. I have short version. So since you don't have time, I'm going to give you short version. But I feel you are so stupid. How come you end up your life in prison for life? and you try to tell me you don't have time to hear a story to change your life from death to life. That's stupid. But anyway, I will give you a short version. So when I start told the story of this guy, and the excited, he said, tell me the full version. I said, okay, I will give you full version. I told them how I met this guy in private prison. I led him to the Lord. I discipled him. Miraculous that he was relieved from prison because his life would change. He went to my Bible school. In 3 months, I sent him back to his community. In the next 30 days, he led 5 other gangsters to Jesus. When I mentioned the name of different gangster, and said, oh yeah, that's my boss. He said, you know what? He's now a student in my Bible school. Really? How come my boss become your student? Do you want to know his story? Yeah, tell me his story, how my boss become your student. What version you want to hear? Full version, long version, or short version? He said, it doesn't matter what version. I want to know how my boss become your student. So I took time to tell them story after story. 3 months later, whole cell. That's 88 young men come to worship Jesus as the Lord and Savior. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. We are excited, but not police. They were upset. They blind me up, handcuffed, chained me, and put me in a truck. They drove for 7 hours, transferred me. And I don't know where they transferred me to. So when they pulled me out from the back of the truck, and I'm telling you, when they take off my blood, I saw a lot of women in one place. I wonder, where is this place? All women. So I saw the sign, girl prostitute prison. And when the girl, they saw me, they're so excited. They stand up, they wave, and hey, gentlemen, welcome to our girl kingdom. With all my courage, I look at them, I say, lady, Jesus love you. They quickly respond, forget it. We don't need Jesus here. We are lonely here. We need you. I'm telling you, my first 4 days were horrible. When I opened my mouth, tried to share about Jesus, they quickly shut me off and jumped over my mouth, made fun of me. I really pray. On the 5th day, before they assign different job to every prisoner, when they call my name, and that lady said, Mr. I, are you a servant of God? I said, yes, I am. I said, step aside. We have a new job for you. So after every girl was assigned to do a different job in the forced labor camp, she looked at me and said, from now on, we want you to clean our toilet every day. You know, clean toilet, it doesn't mean anything to you in America because you don't have toilet in America. American, you have very nice room. You call lady room, gentleman room. In American, you call restroom, right? But you travel around the world, don't ever ask them a restroom. They don't know what you're talking about. You go to Malaysia, Singapore, they call washroom. You go to Philippines, they call comfort room, even though it's not comfortable at all. You go to India, they call happy room. Yeah. When I went in India, at the big lunch, I asked them, well, can I use the restroom? They say, no, we don't have restroom here. So I tell them what I want. Oh, you don't need a restroom here. You need a happy room. I said, what do you mean? So they brought me to the toilet. So after I get out of the toilet, I asked them, why you call this place is happy room? He said, well, in India, when you walk in, you are very painful. But after you finish all your business, you walk out, you're so happy. So we got that happy room. But the toilet in prison in Vietnam, totally different. It's, they cut the fuel barrel into half. So it's about this size. And they cut the bamboo into 2 pieces. They put parallel. So when we step on the 2 bamboo, we have to balance ourselves so we don't fall. And close their nose very tight to do the business as quick as we can and get out. So nobody wants to rest on that toilet in Vietnam. So that's why we don't call restroom, because nobody wants to rest there. And my job was every morning when all the girls use the toilet and when they were sent to work the farm, my job was with these 2 hands. I have to take off all the waste stuff just come out from their body. Put on a full fuel barrel. Put it in, add more water in, and mix them up, and fertilize the vegetable on the field. That was my job. When I'm doing my job, the girl said, dirty stink. I said, lady, listen. My Lord Jesus said, nothing outside dirty. when he met with Pharisee and Sadducee, Jesus told them, you are religious leader. Be careful. The tax collector and the prostitute will go to be heaven before you, Pharisee. The eyebrow opened and said, Pastor, are you kidding me? Prostitute like us can go to heaven? I said, well, according to our culture, when you become a prostitute, you end up your life. But according to the word of God in the Bible, says, whoever in Christ become a new creation, all old things will pass away. All will become new in Jesus Christ. They look at me and say, so you mean we can go to heaven? I said, wait a minute. I have many prostitutes and a preacher. I mentioned the top names. Huh? You know my boss? I said, yes, he's my disciple. Excuse me, sir. How come you are a preacher? You know my boss. I said, don't get me wrong. One of my lady pastors were arrested and put in jail. And met her. Led her to the Lord. Disciple her. Her life was changed. She was released from prison. She go to my Bible school. I trained her. I sent her back to her community. In 1 month, she led 5 other ladies to the Lord. And I stuck mentioning them. I know her. She was my boss. I said, she's now my student. How come my boss become your student? You want to hear a story? She said, yes, tell me the story. I said, what version? She said, whatever version, I want to know how my boss become your student. But, excuse me, can you do me a favor? Can you come out? We want to help to wash your hand so we can release our note to hear the story. So I come, they help me, I wash my hands. I said, I told the story. 6 months later, that whole prison come to worship Jesus as the Lord Savior. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. I can go on and on and on and on, but you know, I know in America you don't have time to hear the full version. So let's give you short version. So you have to find out on my book. It's available on the desk. Anyway, God sent, by the way, I was put in 8 different prison for 10.5 years. And I'm telling you, God changed the prison into church. Though the prisoner are now preacher, they are now lawyer, they are now teacher, many of them are now have a good career, good influence among the people. But God sent angel. That's what I'm going to tell in my next book about how God sent angel to prison to set me free. Is it like what happened in the book of Acts? So when I was set free and I traveled to preach for the youth conference in 6 different churches, I traveled, preached. I met a school teacher. She traveled to preach for children. So in 6 different churches, we met and talked. But we left on 7 churches. Again, we met. And after we met, she do children ministry, I do youth ministry. And after ministry, the pastor invited us for lunch. Just very much like your church have a dinner today. So at the lunch, we talk. And then rain, cat and dog, we're not able to live. I wish we don't have rain today like that. And then we keep talking until late evening, we fell in love. She told me, sir, you have to go to see my parents to ask permission for a date. So I went. And as I went, and her dad, he was an elder of big church. He know all the pastor. So he checked me out. And about 15 minutes, he said, oh, I know who you are now. You are the crazy preacher people talking about. And the woman said, sir, would you please do me a favor? I said, what can I do for you? He said, please, don't date, don't marry our daughter. I said, why? He said, since you are a crazy preacher, and my daughter a crazy preacher, if a crazy preacher married to a crazy teacher, you have double crazy. You'll be trouble. And we don't want to get involved in your trouble. So I look at him and said, sir, the whole world are crazy anyway. But the world are crazy for hell, and we're crazy for heaven, for eternity. Why not? So I keep back and forth. 6 months later, we engage, and a year later, we marry. So after we marry, and we went out to plenty church, I have a lot of story of that, but then 2 years later, we have first child. And you know what? Which doctor already cursed me that I can never marry, I can never have children, I will absolutely have no son to carry my family name. But what they cursed me. But I'm glad to tell you this. Jesus came to die for us. Not only set us free from sin, but he delivered us from all the curse from generation to generation. So when I marry and they say, hey, we never had children. And 2 years later, we have a first daughter we named Baby Ruth. 2 years later, it come out another girl we named Mary. So my wife and I, we come to see a Christian counselor, and she said, oh, well, you better read some magazines. So she give me many magazines. We read, they tell what to eat, what to do, so to have a boy. So we do exactly what she, we read in the magazine. 2 years later, it come out Esther. So we said, okay, we have to go to look for a doctor. So we went to see a Christian doctor, and she pull out the calendar. She said, okay, this day, you eat this, you do this, this. We do exactly what she taught. 2 years later, it come out Elizabeth. So all witch doctors in my town said, no way for poor I to have a son, since he was cursed by the witch doctor. I said, you know what? You guys said no way, but my Lord Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Wait and see. So finally, in 1989, my wife and I went to Cambodia to start Cambodia Assembly of God and training church planter. Because I was the founder and general superintendent of Assembly of God Vietnam. So now we found to come to next country, that Cambodia, after Pol Pot were wiped out. So we start a church. On the way back, my wife told me, honey, look like I'm pregnant again. I said, yes, our son on the way. But by the time I get to our home, 37 police were there waiting for me. They arrested me and put me in jail. So I haven't seen her for next 2 years. But the one day, she sent me a note that we have a son named David. And she said, guess what? When David, our son, was born, that's our son David. Is he handsome? Yeah, he looked like he dead. Listen, I was disowned by my family for 10 years. When my father family, my mother family, they saw David. They said, only Jesus able to break the curse from witch doctor. So all my father family, my mother family, over 360 members, disowned me for 10 years. Now they all come to accept Jesus as the Lord and Savior. Hallelujah. You know, I've planted thousands of churches in Vietnam and around the world. But 6 churches come out from my family. A pastor by my brother, my sister, and my in-law. Now it come to 12 churches already. Our niece, our nephew are now grown up, and they are pastors, they are missionary of the Assembly of God in Vietnam. So nothing impossible to God. That same Jesus transformed my life. And he not only transformed my life, but he also saved my whole family. Bible says, believe in Jesus Christ, you and your household shall be saved. So this morning I'm here not only to appreciate Vietnam veteran, because you came to Vietnam years ago. You opened the door for missionary to come. That's how I come to know the Lord. But God not only changed my life alone. Out of my life, he changed my family. And now, you know, when I found the Assembly of God, I left Vietnam 19 years ago. I have 320 churches of Assembly of God in Vietnam. Now they're growing. And I travel in past 19 years, I travel around the world, planting thousands of churches. But I have a message for you today. God have a great plan for you. I don't know if you go to church, you go to temple, whatever faith you have, it doesn't matter to me. My message to you is this: God, he created you in his image. When he blows spirit into your nose, he said, you are very good. And he said, I have a plan for you. My plan not to harm you, but bless you and prosper you. I want to bless you, you're able to be a blessing to others. So if you're here today, even though you have religion, you have all different kinds of faith, that's good. But if you don't have a personal relationship with your Creator, with our Almighty God. Today, I would like to invite you to come with a personal relationship with Creator, our Almighty God, through Jesus Christ, and your life will be transformed. Number one. Number two, if you already have personal relationship with God through Jesus Christ, but your beloved one, your family, not yet, don't lose your hope. Don't give up. The same God changed my family, and through my ministry, changed many families around the world. We're able to do same thing to your family. Because Acts chapter 16, verse 31, God said, believe in Jesus Christ, you and your household shall be saved. So today, if you're here, you don't have a personal relationship with Jesus, don't give up. Don't keep your life like that. God bless me with 5 children, with 10 grandchildren. They all love the Lord. They all serving the Lord. And one of my daughters traveled with Dick to Vietnam, Laos, Vietnam and Cambodia. And she's now traveled to Europe. All my children, now our grandchildren are stuck serving the Lord. So I have a good message for you that God has a plan for you. His plan not to harm you, but bless you and prosper you. So make you become blessing to the other. And God not only saved you, but he went to save all your family. So I will turn back to the pastor so he can conclude. But I love to pray with you. If any one of you here today, you don't have personal relationship with Jesus, don't live without that connection. If you are here, but your family not yet saved, don't lose your hope. That is a good news for you. Bible says, believe in Jesus Christ, you and your household shall be saved. So I'm going to pray for you before you leave. But I have the pastor come back to conclude the service before I'm going to pray for you.
Thank you, Brother Paul. I don't want to take a lot of time because I just want to keep the service going. But we do want to take an offering for our brother who came here at his own expenses and stuff. So let's dig deep and be better. So if the ushers would come back. Take care of this so that we can have a prayer time. I'm sorry to see it end. I can sit here all day and listen to it. Maybe we can get you coming back when you're back in the United States again sometime.
Yes,
ushers, please come.
Who should we make checks out to?
Make the checks out to the church and we'll just give one check. Is that okay, Brother Paul?
Yes, I know. Yeah.
And also, you know, if you're not prepared to give as much today and you'd like to give next week or something, we'd be happy to make sure he gets it. So, Father, we thank you for this time. We just ask that you would multiply these funds here today to continue to bless our brother Paul and his wife and the ministry that they have literally around the world. We thank you for bringing him to us today. And Lord, we look forward to changed lives from this service in Jesus' name.
Amen. Okay. While you give the offering, I would like to pray for you. If you're here today, you are not sure that you have a personal relationship with God. You are not sure that where you go to spend your eternity. I have a good news for you. God don't want any one of you be perished, but he want all of you will be saved and come to maturity. And that's what I'm going to pray for you. So if that's you, just raise your hand. I want to pray with you. Maybe you go to church every week, but you don't have a personal relationship with God. You are not sure that you will go to spend your eternity with him. I want to pray with you. Number two, if you are here, but your beloved one not yet saved, they don't have a personal relationship with God, and you want them to be saved so they can spend together with you in his eternity, and you want to pray for them, I want to pray with you now. Any one of you here, you want to stand for your family, great, please come. I want to pray for you. If your family not yet saved, they don't have a personal relationship with God, and God don't want them to go to hell, God want them to go to heaven with you. And if you really sure, If you believe in God and go to heaven by yourself and left your family to hell, you are so selfish. But God loved you and loved them. God wants them to go to heaven too. Bible very clear. He don't want anyone to be perished, but he want all will be saved and come to be a maturity in the truth. So if you want to stand for your family, I want to pray for you now. Okay, when I'm waiting for the brother and sister to come, I will give you instruction. The reason I do that, because as I travel, I share and I pray, and I receive the news every week that how God answered their prayer. Any more? Yes, come. Come. Okay, now you listen to me. Again, I want to remind you this. You desire to see your beloved one go to heaven. But God desires even more than you do. And he don't want any people will be perished. I'm very confident to tell you that because the Bible says so. But you have to be serious too. So this is what you need to do. Number one, you have to write out the name. That's what I did. It took me 10 years. I write out the name. Every day I lay hand on this paper and pray for every individual name. And though the day, you know, 40 years ago, we don't have internet like now. We don't have email. And even we don't have telephone. So what I did, that every week I send out a postcard to them. I say, God love you, I love you. I want you to go to heaven with me. And some of my relatives send it back to me. For 6 years, they keep sending back to me. And I keep sending to them. When they send back to me, I put it in a box. And then I keep sending them every week. And they keep sending back. I put the whole stack on the box. But I never give up. And of course, after they saw my son get saved, so 365 members of my dad and my mom family come all worship Jesus. So what I'm trying to tell you there, you need to be serious to pray for your beloved one. If they are far away from you, now you have many tools in your hand. With the smartphone, you can either email, you can send a text, you can Facebook, you can Viber, you can Tango, many different programs today. You can do that. Okay, if you don't have a smartphone, you can use landline phone. Okay, call them. If not, you can send a postcard like I did. But you need to pray for them and tell them that God loves them and you love them. If they're close to you, whenever you're able to hug them, when you hug them, you tell them God loves them and you love them. But in spirit, you need to pray in spirit with the authority in the name of Jesus to the power of the Holy Spirit. You paralyze all other spirit within them. So though the spirit cannot control their life, so Holy Spirit will open their spirit, their mind, their soul, their heart, so that we accept Jesus as their Lord and Savior. You understand what I'm saying? This is a spiritual warfare battle. And you need to learn how to conquer their soul for the kingdom of God. And today I give you some of the king. If I come back next time, I'll give you a whole seminar about how to pray that every single prayer will be answered by God. My next book called Super Yoga, I'm telling them about the power of the Holy Spirit. It's about all other spirits of the world. And he will conquer all other spirits. And we will experience victory every day of our life here on earth. But this morning, because of the time limit, I want to pray for your beloved one. How many of you decided to bring your beloved one into God's kingdom? Okay, raise your hand and pray with me now. Dear Heavenly Father, I come to you this morning. Thank you for your love. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for your mercy. Thank you for saving my soul and spirit. And I believe in Jesus Christ. I know I am saved. But today I stand for my beloved one. In the name of Jesus, I remind you your promise. Believe in Jesus Christ. I and my household shall be saved. In the name of Jesus, I declare your plan for my beloved one. They will be saved. They shall be saved. In Jesus' name, change their life. Use their life as a witness for you. I decided to be a witness for you. Today I declare I will stand for my beloved one. You shall save them. That's what you promised. I receive it in Jesus' name. Amen. Holy Spirit, may you hear all the promise of your children this morning. May you seal all their promise that they made a covenant with you today to stand for their beloved one. In the name of Jesus, I declare that the power of Holy Spirit will move and that they send out the message to their beloved one. Holy Spirit, move and paralyze all other evil spirits and open spirit of their beloved one. So they receive the truth and the truth will set them free. Father, in the name of Jesus, I declare that all devil plans are now canceled. And I take authority to destroy the evil plan of devil. And I declare God's great plan will fulfill to their life. And Lord, we go to celebrate with their beloved one for their salvation. We give glory to you and we receive it. We thank you in Jesus' name. And all God people say, amen. Amen. So remember, from now on, go home, write out the name of your beloved one. You want them to go to heaven. And call them, send them message, and pray with them. And you will see that from now to the end of the year, you will see many of them will come into God's kingdom. If they don't want to go to church, bring church to them. That's what I'm doing. And it will happen. Thank you, and God bless you. God bless all of you. Pastor.